Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Time to get real today. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and this is going to be a fabulous show, as they all are. But before I go on, I want to welcome my new listeners, and you're probably asking yourself, what the hell is Reality Spirituality? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I have the answer. Reality Spirituality is a term that I use to describe our everyday life circumstances and the link to spirituality. Yes, getting on the bus is a spiritual event. Going to the grocery store is a spiritual event. Walking in the park, I think you get my gist, but you can find a link to spirituality in your everyday life. And why are we looking for these links? Why are we looking for it? Well, I have that answer too. We're looking because you and I listen. Let me just back it up a little bit. Close your eyes and think to yourself, what would you want? What would you like more than anything else? What is it that you really want? Now, of course, we could say money, bigger car, more houses. Yeah. What does your heart want? And we all have the same, well, let's say this, in my opinion, the same desire in our hearts. And that is to be loved unconditionally, and with that comes along being happy. Can you imagine if everybody loved you unconditionally? Well, let's say this, forget about them. This is about you being happy. And this show, Reality Spirituality, is about finding and discovering strategies, life events, to really find and get down and find out the least common denominator. What is the least? Why am I not as happy as I could be? There are formulas, simple formulas, not too well known, to being happy. And I'm talking about a contentment. I'm not talking about skipping down the road. I'm talking about an inner contentment. Because this happiness that I'm talking about has nothing to do with the circumstances in your life. Absolutely nothing. In fact, this can be tested, because if the world is caving in, if your house is burning down, if you're foreclosed, whatever it is, you can still remain peaceful and happy and contented and connected to the universe. I don't care what's going on. And that's what this show is about. This show is about sharing what I've learned, how to remain happy, how to remain and sustain happiness regardless of your circumstances. Today, I have to say that we have a guest. Yes. And her name is Lynn Klippel. And the interesting thing about finding Lynn is, you know, we all are on Facebook, and you can tell a lot by a person's picture. You could feel their energy. You can get an idea if they're happy or if something else is going on. And I have to say, I don't even remember how, but I saw Lynn's picture. And I do remember how. I was on Facebook, and you know how on Facebook you have friends that have other friends. And so I saw her picture, and I just, wow, she looks really happy. She looks like a like energy. She looks like someone I want to connect with, and that's exactly how it started. And since then, actually, let me pull Lynn up on the air, because she's, hello, Lynn.
Hi there, Rebecca.
Hi there, but I'm not finished hyping you up yet. And I say that with a really big smile. Lynn is a best-selling author, a publisher, a book strategist, and today she's going to share with us three actual case studies from entrepreneurs all over the country who have success, maybe all over the globe, who have successfully used a book to attract clients. And attracting clients, what does that mean? Of course, it means creating more revenue. And Lynn also is going to share with us how to select a topic for your book, how to select a powerful topic for your book, and how to use your questions about writing and publishing a book today, in today's world. Since 2004, she's been working with coaches, speakers, and entrepreneurs who want to write a nonfiction book to showcase their expertise and build their business. And her business, business Building Books, focuses on the marriage of internet and marketing and publishing. And you know that today you cannot market anything without the help of the internet. So, like I suspected, she has helped clients from all over the world. She's an avid reader, and she used to actually get in trouble as a child reading books instead of doing her chores. Well, come on, I can't say that. I can't say that I got in trouble for reading. Okay, so with all of that, let's welcome Lynn Klipple. Hi, Lynn. Welcome to Reality Spirituality.
Oh, thank you, Rebecca. I'm so happy to be here. I love your theme song music. That's really fun.
Well, let me say something. My theme song music was written by my number one and only son, and he's singing it. Isn't that the coolest?
He is very talented.
Well, tell me something I don't know, Lynn. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate that. And actually, he's been on the show a couple of times too. He is he graduated from NYU, and he lives in New York right now. He's been there since 2006, leading his own life.
Well, good for him.
Mm-hmm. But let's get back to you and why you're on the show. And it's just a pleasure to have. I've never had anyone on the show with your background. So I'm really excited to do something different.
Oh, well, I'm very honored.
Mm-hmm. So how did you get started working with authors?
Well, back in 2001, Rebecca, I was a new grad from coaching school. Prior to then, I'd worked in healthcare for a long time as an occupational therapist, and I got laid off. So I started looking at, you know, what could I do to never get laid off again? Opening my own business sounded like a really good plan, because then I couldn't lay myself off. I went to coaching school, and I became a career coach. Well, I opened my business right before 9/11, and after 9/11, I had a lot of people that wanted to coach with me, but I had nobody who could pay me because, you know, I had lots of folks who were laid off in the tech bubble burst right after 9/11,
mm-hmm.
And I started noticing a pattern. Many of them were very afraid that their marriages would break up because of their job loss. Oddly enough, I was going through the same thing at home because my husband had gotten laid off around the same time I had. We were bickering. I was chasing him around the house trying to be his career coach, and he didn't want anything to do with that. So I thought, you know, there's got to be a book that can help me solve this problem. I don't know how to be married to somebody who's out of work and help him and not go crazy myself. So I went to the library. There wasn't anything. I went on Amazon. There was no book for women whose husbands were out of work. So I got this wild idea to write a book using what I knew about people from my healthcare background and my coaching skills. I wrote a book called Secrets to Surviving His Job Loss. I self-published it. I didn't know what the heck I was doing, but as soon as I had a book with my name on the cover, people thought I was hot stuff. I was on TV. I was on the radio. I was in Working Mother magazine. People were paying me to come and speak. I had clients calling who had some money to pay for coaching.
Oh,
it changed everything about my business. I was the same person, but people thought I was different than the other career coaches because I had a book with my name on it.
Oh, my goodness. I love this story. I love it. Keep going.
Some of my friends who were coaches said, hey, this is really working for you. Help me do a book. So starting in about 2004, I started teaching classes on how to write a book. I'd been a teacher in my past, so I knew how to write and I knew how to teach.
Mm-hmm.
So I started teaching people how to write their books, and then I published them for them. And over time, I stopped doing career coaching, and I just immersed myself in the world of writing and publishing and using books to really market your business, and I fell completely in love with it.
Oh, my goodness. I loved this. Now, how long did it take you to write your book, and what, did you write every day? How did you set that up?
You know, it took me probably about 6 or 7 months to write the book, the first one. And I didn't really know what to do. I've read millions of books because I read a book all the time. I love to read. So I kind of knew the basic format of how a nonfiction how-to book was set up.
Mm-hmm.
So I just put together an outline, and then, you know, when I had spare time, I worked on it a little bit all the time. So almost every day during the week, I would work on my book.
Okay.
And just kind of plugged away at it.
Interesting. Wow, interesting. And so why is it a good time right now for entrepreneurs to consider writing their book?
Well, it's so much easier to publish now than it was when I started. When
really?
I first started out, it was there wasn't really digital print-on-demand publishing, which we have now. And in case that's a new term for any of the listeners, there's a new kind of printing press that is almost like a photocopier. It's all computer generated, and you can find printers who will print your book one at a time as you sell them. What used to be true was that when you published a book, you had to print at least 3,000 copies for the first print run. So
oh my
there would
goodness.
Be authors who have their whole basement filled up with these 3,000 books and then have to sell them. So they had to come up with a lot of cash to print all those books, and then they had incredible pressure to get them selling. So now you don't have to do that anymore. It costs a lot less than it used to cost to print books, and there's quite a good market in freelance cover designers and editors. So it's a lot more affordable to publish a book than it used to be.
Wow, I love that. It's funny that I found you because I actually lost track of how many books I have inside. But I made a decision to, I gave myself a deadline, and that's what's coming out right now. So I didn't even know when I friended you, I didn't even know that this is what you did. Isn't that wonderful how the universe works?
Yes, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. So you told us that there are different ways to use books to build a business. Can you you share what you mean by that?
Yes. There's a couple of different pathways, and some of them you might not think about. The first pathway is, you know, your traditional idea of, I want to write a book and sell it to make money, to add an income stream to my business.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what people think about first when they write a book. However, if you are a business owner, say you are a coach or a consultant or a personal trainer or a nutritionist, any profession where you have knowledge and you want to attract more clients to your business, you can write a book as a client attraction giveaway and never worry about selling a copy, but give it away as an expanded brochure. This works extremely well because people might throw away a brochure, but it's really hard for somebody to throw away a book, especially if it's a good one. So
yeah.
I actually experimented with this one time. I went to a conference, and I worked a trade show for a friend of mine. And when I introduced myself, they said, what do you do? I said, oh, I'm a book coach and a publisher. Every single person said, oh, I would love to write a book, but... And then they started telling me why they couldn't do it. And I started keeping track of the reasons why people believe they couldn't write a book. And they were very similar. Like,
okay.
I don't have a PhD. Nobody will read it but my mother. I'm a bad speller. I don't have time, et cetera, et cetera. There were like 13 reasons.
Yeah, okay.
I called them the myths.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote a little book about these myths. And I called it, Who Am I to Write a Book? And in that book, I discussed each myth and why people believe it, and then why it's really not true and how you can work around it. So that by the end of the book, you have a different attitude about it's the possibility of you writing a book, and you really feel empowered. I've never sold that book. I've never sold a single copy. But I've given it away to people all over the world, and it brought me at least $10,000 of new business within the first 6 months after it came out.
Oh, my goodness.
Because by the time people finished reading it, they're like, oh, my gosh, I like this Lynn Klippel chick. She knows her stuff. Let me go to her website and sign up for her to coach me.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I love that story. So this, you said you never sold a copy, but you gave it away, and look at the results of giving it away.
Yeah. Here's an example. I worked with a man who was a personal trainer, and he had a very specialized personal training business. He trained high school athletes who were trying to get into high-level colleges. Okay, really small niche.
Mm-hmm.
So he wrote a book for the parents of these high school athletes to help them shape their child and keep them on the straight and narrow and their grades up and all those challenges to really give them the very best shot at getting a college scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
Because mom and dad would be the people paying for his services, not the athlete themselves. So every time he would be able to speak to a group of parents, he would offer this book as a giveaway, and it brought him a ton of business because then he was the expert on training for high-potential high school athletes.
Oh, my. You know, there's a niche. There's every little I've never even heard of that. I'm saying there's a niche for everything that happens in our lives. How to. Someone has gone through it. We've all gone through it. There's nothing new, but there's no one I've ever heard of how to with the parents and the athletes.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So for any of your listeners, just think about what you do in your work, especially if you have your own business. You have tons of important information that would really help people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can write a small book, it doesn't have to be long, it doesn't have to be expensive to produce, it just needs to be well edited and well designed so it doesn't look embarrassing. It has to look like a real book.
Yes.
think how powerful it would be to give that away when you're at networking events or when you're trying to get into maybe a business to do some training for them, or if you're on an airplane and you meet somebody who needs what you have, you can, you know, follow up by sending them an autographed copy of your book. It's very impressive, and it's a very great way to attract people to your business.
So that's basically what you're saying is how that's how you select a topic for your book based on what you already know.
Exactly. Those are the best books. You know, sometimes people will come to me and they'll say, I want to write a book on attracting spiritual abundance. I'm like, oh, great. I love spiritual books. That's a wonderful idea. Tell me some more about your ideas. Mm-hmm. And they'll tell me about their ideas, and they're very good. And so then they might say to me, I only have one problem. I'm completely broke and I have no money. So I can't take your class and I can't pay to have this book published. Do you understand the disconnect there?
Yeah,
if you're writing about spiritual abundance, you got to have some first. So my thinking then for and what I advise these potential authors are you are living your book right now.
That's
so
right.
It's excellent. Get a journal, write down everything that you do spiritually and practically to create some abundance in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the personal information, the understanding of the topic, and the results that you can write a really good book. So when you're thinking about a topic, look to the problems in your life that you have solved. And that's
Ooh.
A great place to find a topic for a book.
Okay. I have to write that down. When you're writing a book, look for the topics of the problems in your life that you have solved.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I really love that because that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. You know, back to this, you're talking about this person coming to you and saying, but I don't, you know, writing about spiritual abundance. And my question to that was spiritual abundance or earth-made abundance? She was talking about having more money?
Mm-hmm. So. Financial, using spiritual tools to create financial abundance.
Oh, okay. All right. Mm-hmm. I get that. I actually have an answer to that, but she's not on the line. So, okay. Now, are there any topics? I love the fact that you said write about problems. I mean, I wrote it down. I'm sitting here writing it down. Write about problems that you have solved, because that's one of the things on this show that I tell people that we are all so different. We are as different as our fingerprints. And each one of us has a unique gift, a unique experience that even if we've gone through the same situation, you still come out of it with different ideas, different thoughts, different perspectives. And writing about what you've solved, a problem that you've solved, is just, that's empowering too.
It really is, and it does a couple of things. It makes you very empathetic and understanding for your readers. They will feel your heart and know that you're not talking down to them or judging them because you understand intimately what it's like to struggle with this issue. And you'll also empower them and give them hope because you can share the spiritual, the practical, the tips that you personally used to get to the other side of whatever it is.
Oh, my goodness. I love this. I love it. And one of the things that I also say on reality spirituality all the time is we are so much more alike. We are all alike more than being different. I mean, we all have like issues and that's why I like to just be so honest and so open with my audience. Listen, my audience knows that I've had problems with with financial, with medical. It doesn't matter because that's how we all connect.
Exactly. And I think life is really just school. And we come to this earth to learn lessons, and the way that we often learn them the quickest is through challenges. So what you learn through the challenges that you encounter in your life can be a blessing to someone else because they can help get through their challenges a little bit easier or a little quicker because they've got a roadmap from somebody that really has experienced it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I wish you could see me now because my head is just bobbing up and down, up and down. Yes, 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 yes. Now, are there any topics that you would tell or you would suggest your authors to avoid?
There are. If you are still in the middle of your problem and your challenge and you have a really strong emotional charge about it, you might want to wait a little bit until some healing has happened before you write the book. Here's an example that I had someone in one of my writing classes who wanted to write a book about divorce, and that's great. People need a lot of help recovering from divorce. Mm-hmm. But when she started sending me some of her chapters, her son had been married to a woman that they had a very bitter divorce, and this woman was so angry at her daughter-in-law that the book she was writing was full of venom and rage. And it wouldn't have blessed the reader. It would have made the reader feel like jumping off a cliff. It was so like, oh, marriage is so horrible. She hadn't had enough time to heal from the experience and go through forgiveness, so she couldn't write from a neutral place.
Mm-hmm. So I have a question for you. So How did that resolve? What did you do? What did you suggest?
I suggested that she wait a little bit, and she wait to write her book. She could continue to work on it, but hold on to it for final editing until she could be in a space where she felt like she'd actually forgiven her former daughter-in-law, and then read it again with fresh eyes to see if this book was for her personal venting and catharsis, or if it was really to help her intended readers.
Were you able to tell her that that what she had written was filled with venom?
I told her very nicely that I didn't think it would be uplifting to readers. And so she decided to put that book aside and write a book about art. And she was very passionate about art, and she wrote a really nice book that was really fun to read.
Okay.
So sometimes you got to change your topic. If it's too painful for you and you are really angry still, there's another topic that's waiting for you to write about now.
Well, what it sounded like that she was writing with emotion and basically writing with negative emotion as opposed to passionate emotion.
Yes. That's a really good distinction, Rebecca.
Because you can be passionate, but you also have to have the right ingredients for that passion. Okay, I love that. I love that. So, in your opinion, expertise, what's the best way to just get started writing a book? Like for me, I have tons and tons of things that I have written. And scattered all over the place. Do I need an outline? Do I need to structure my days? Where do I start? Do I start at the beginning of the book, or do I start at the middle or the end? I mean, I've started a book, and it's probably in the middle where I've started. So, what, in your opinion, is the best way to start writing a book?
Well, there's a couple of different suggestions that I have for you. First thing is to start to write a little bit every day, even if it's not for your book. It can be writing in a journal that nobody sees but you. It can be blogging. Just get used to the craft of writing, because the more that you write, the quicker you will become and the more confidence you'll have that you can write. When you settle on a book topic, and you've, you know, meditated on it, you've looked at it logically, you said, okay, this is what my soul is calling me to write about. Mm-hmm. Then the first thing you want to do is figure out an outline. Before you start writing, think about what you want to teach in your book, especially if it's about a problem that you've overcome. You're going to be sharing steps. You know, I did this, this, and this, or this spiritual technique here, or I did this thing here. You know, what, first of all, are you going to teach? I call that the learning path. Mm-hmm. So think of what you want to teach the people that read your book, and then put it in order. Put the topics in order from easy to hard. Because if a reader starts a book and the first thing they're supposed to do feels impossible, they're going to put the book down. They won't.
Ooh, that won't is, do it. That is, oh my goodness, I'm loving what you're saying. Easy to hard. Okay, that is really good advice. And I also like the advice of writing every day. And the more you write, I never thought about it because I've always written, but the more you write, the faster you write.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I'm sorry to interrupt, but no, I'm not sorry to interrupt, but I mean, because I don't even use that thing, sorry. But I'm just loving you. I'm just loving everything that's coming out of your mouth. Keep going.
Oh, well, it's so fun mm-hmm. to talk with you, Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get the learning path done, so you figured out, okay, I want to teach, let's say 7, it's a good number. I want to teach these 7 concepts in my book.
Okay.
Then if you're writing a how-to book, there's kind of a flow to them that is easy for the readers. So the first chapter of most how-to books, whether it's spirituality or a relationship or any kind of self-help / how-to book, mm-hmm. the first chapter is always an introduction to the topic.
Now, wait a minute. So when you say introduction to the topic of the chapter or the topic of the book?
Of the book. So, for example, if I'm going to write a book about parenting, the first chapter is going to be something, you know, in general about parenting, what it is, what it isn't, why it's important, you know, just getting people warmed up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
The second chapter is usually a book, a chapter about what happens if you don't solve the problem. So if you're writing a book about health and nutrition, and in your second chapter, you want to let people know, okay, if you continue to smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day and drink a fifth of scotch, here's what could happen to you.
You could have a great life of partying, and then...
Yes.
No, sorry. Did I say that out loud? Sorry.
Yes, you did. It's Friday, though.
Whoopsie. Okay, yeah, go ahead. I love this. I'm actually, Lynn, writing this stuff down. I'm really writing it down. What happens if you don't? The first is an introduction, and what happens if you don't solve the problem? And then what happens?
Then the middle of your book is your learning path. A chapter each on your 7 steps or whatever you're teaching in your book. Do one chapter for each one of the things that you want to teach.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that'll get you, in this particular outline, chapters 3 through 10. You know what they're going to be about.
Yes.
Then after the end of the book needs to be any kind of final information that people need to know. So maybe it could be just one chapter that wraps everything up and summarizes it. It might be a couple of chapters. If there's some special problems that people might run into, you might have a chapter on that. It's almost like in school when you had to write a speech. The beginning of the speech, you tell them what you're going to tell them. Then in the middle of the speech, you tell them. And at the end of the speech, you tell them again what you told them. It's the same way for a book. The first couple of chapters set the stage. The middle of the book teaches your concepts. The end of the book summarizes and empowers the reader so that when they get to that last page, they believe that they can solve that problem using what you taught them.
Empowers the readers. I love that. Summarizes and wraps and empowers the readers. Oh my goodness! This is great information. So, You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a quick commercial break. It's going to be just a minute. And we are going to come back with author, publisher, Lynn Kipple.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Everyone, welcome again to Reality Spirituality. You're listening to Lynn Kipple. Is that the correct way
yep,
to pronounce
that's right.
it? Kipple.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect, Kipple. And we are talking about publishing a book, and we all have books inside of us. We all have something to share. We all have problems that we have solved. And basically, that's what Lynn is giving us, all these resources. You know, I am so excited to learn all this myself. It's just interesting how the universe just kind of guides you to the right people at the right time and the right situation. Can I, before we go to questions, also, let me open it up to my audience. If you would like to call in and ask Lynn a question or ask me a question, you can call in at area code 646-564-9619, 646-564-9619, and I'm going to open up the chat also. So if you don't want to call, you can chat with us and ask Lynn a question. Lynn? Hello?
Yes, I'm still here.
No, I know, you always have to wonder.
No, I don't.
How can listeners find you? If you want listeners to connect with you, how can they find you, and how can they get some additional resources?
Well, Rebecca, I have an author quick start gift on my website. It's completely free. It has an author assessment. It has the ebook version of that free book that I wrote called Who Am I to Write a Book? So you can read that and see, you know, how that all worked and use it as a model for perhaps doing a freebie book for your business. And it has a few other goodies. So if you're thinking about writing a book but you want some more information, before you spend any money, go over to businessbuildingbooks.com and sign up for that free author quick start program. And that'll just give you some really good beginning information so you can start to decide if this is for you or not.
I love that. And I did take the test. I took it, and it was very, what I loved about it, it was very thorough. It talks about the questions asked are very specific, and it kind of makes you even think what you know and what you don't know. What's your topic about? How well do you know your topic? It's just so thorough. I enjoyed taking the test, and it also showed me what I don't know about the publishing industry, or what I don't know about writing a book, what I don't know about marketing, what I don't know about a lot of stuff, but my topic I'm strong on, but everything else, I got like a 22% or 30%, and that's why you're here, right, Lynn?
You know, that's exactly right. When I wrote my first book, I had no idea what I was doing. I bought a how-to book, and I followed it like a cookbook and just did whatever that book said.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a lot along the process, and also, you know, over the years of doing this now for almost 10 years. So most new authors have no idea that they should be thinking about their book marketing at the same time they're picking their topic. Because you never wrote a book before. Nobody tells you these things. So I tried to make my assessment pretty broad and let people know all the areas where they can do more learning so that there's no surprises. A lot of times I'll get emails from new authors saying, I just got my books in from my printer. They're gorgeous. I have 500. Can I hire you to sell them for me? And I just want to cry for them because nobody told them that if you start planning your marketing before you write your book, it's a whole lot easier. It's not impossible, but you have to work a lot harder if you haven't laid some foundational pieces.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say that I had no clue about that. And see, this is, let me just be honest about me. I have certain expertise, I have certain knowledge, but I'm not a marketer.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I would need someone to be a marketer, be a PR person, because that's not my thing. You know, Oprah's not out there marketing her stuff. She has people to do that. So what about finding someone to market after you have written your book?
There's a lot of wonderful people who can help you with book marketing. You need a couple of different things. There's things you can totally do on your own, and then there's some things you might want to hire if you have the budget for it. So one thing that's free that you can do right now is be on social media. It's really important for authors to be attracting people who would be interested in their book to them as soon as possible. So if you know you're going to write for, let's say, people who like to meditate, you should be on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Pinterest talking about the joys of meditation and connecting with other people that love meditation, collecting people in a tribe that would be interested in your upcoming book on meditation. You could have a radio show like you're doing now, Rebecca. This is a wonderful way to introduce people to you and to your work. You can have a blog. You can do lots of stuff now to get your name out there, even before you have a book. That's called platform building in the publishing world. And
okay.
It's super important. And you can start doing that today for no cost.
Oh,
just some time.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying there. And it's, I would think that it's easier today to market than it was 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah, because we have the Internet. It used to be 20 years ago, the only way you could really sell books would be to pay for ads in newspapers and magazines, which was super,
exactly,
or travel around the country going to different bookstores with books in your trunk and, you know, spend your life traveling around with your book. Thank goodness we don't have to do that anymore. Now we can do all kinds of virtual things. You can do podcasts. You can do blog tours. You can do teleclasses. You can speak virtually. You can speak in your local community. Any chance that you get to get in front of people who are interested in your audience, that's marketing your book because it's letting people know who you are and what you're all about. There's other things like when your book's out, you might want to have somebody who knows how to do public relations do some work for you and get you on radio shows, television shows, perhaps a blog tour or some magazine or newspaper coverage in your hometown. There's so many wonderful Internet radio shows just like this one that if you do some good Google work, you can find other radio show hosts who are interested in your topic and send them an email and say, hey, I would be a great guest for you. Here's a topic of my book. Would your readers be interested in that? Mm-hmm. Most Internet radio show hosts are lovely people, and they're very approachable, and they wouldn't be offended to get an email directly from you instead of from, you know, a paid PR person.
A paid PR agent. Mm-hmm.
And those things aren't free.
No, exactly. Wow, this is what great information you're giving. I mean, to my audience, I want to say that, you know, I've always said that you're a special audience, and let's just I love the fact, you know, I keep going back to it, but write about a problem that you have solved. You know, it just feels so natural. It just feels so perfect. It feels so honest. It feels so heavenly.
It really does make it much more spacious and easy to grasp, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. So let me ask some, can I ask some personal questions about you?
Sure. I'll tell you.
Yay! Because we have talked about what you're really, what you have done and what you're doing and your expertise, but this is just a reality spirituality question. You ready?
I'm ready.
Put your seatbelt on.
Oh, boy.
Now, are you having any problems, any issues, any dilemmas, any irritations, anything in your life right now? I don't care if it's about the book business or if it's about personal. Do you have anything that you, or is your life just going along swimmingly and you're skipping and jumping and you're happy the whole time?
Well, I can tell you, my life has totally transformed over the last 5 years because I've really gotten much deeper in my faith and in my spiritual practices. 5 years ago, I was on the brink of divorce. I was stressed out. I was just a mess. I had kids. I have some special needs kids, so there was lots of family pressures, money pressures. Oh, you wouldn't even believe it. So I went to a spiritual retreat kind of out. I went to a teleclass with this spiritual teacher I'd never heard of before, but a friend of mine kept saying, oh, you really need to hear this, Lynn. So I went, and my heart expanded in my chest. I felt like I was having a heart attack. I didn't know that that's what it feels like when your heart really opens up. I just didn't know that.
So I ended up
meeting this teacher and going to Guadalajara, Mexico, with a group of people I didn't know to go on a spiritual retreat. I had no idea what this was all about because I was raised in a pretty conservative Midwestern Christian church. So, you know, I was brand new to lots of alternative spiritual practices.
Yes.
And went to this retreat.
That.
Yes. And I learned about meditation and visualization and intentions, and it really shifted everything in my life. So it's definitely not perfect, but I am so much more centered and so much happier and extremely blessed in my life because I've spent a lot of time and energy growing my spirit instead of just attending to all of the problems that I have. I still have problems. Everybody does, but I can cope with them from a much better place today.
You know what? Oh, my goodness. I'm listening to you. First of all, we've never spoken over the phone prior to today. And your voice and your energy is so calming and so peaceful. And I don't want to say this, but it's true. No, it's not that I don't want to say it. I'm just making a joke. And so happy and so content and so centered. And it does sound like you can tackle or experience anything. And you know how to. I like to say ride the wave of life. Even crashing and burning, you sound great to me. You sound like my kind of people. Sound like reality, kind of energy. I'm so grateful and happy. So
overwhelmed to make the connection.
Thank you. You know, something weird is happening energetically because I can hardly hear you on the phone. It's like buzzing. So I'm calling in on another line.
Okay. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, it's still really buzzy, so we must have a very high energetic connection going on here.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
can you hear me okay?
I can hear you perfectly. I can hear you
perfectly. Good.
Yes. I just want to say, because we actually are getting to the end of the show, but it's that's terrible that you didn't hear me with all the. Did you hear all the compliments?
Oh, I heard the gist of it. It was so beautiful, and I'm so complimented. Thank you very much.
Got to make sure you.
I have to tell you, if you knew me 5 or 10 years ago, you would have known someone who was a mess. I'd had an abusive marriage, bankruptcy, problems with my kids, bad health. I was so stressed out. And I was so fake because I pretended everything was wonderful. And people had no idea that I was living in a horrible, bad, bad, bad situation at home. And I'm really so honored that you can hear a sense of peace in my voice. And I'm so honored that I was given this sense of peace because it was hard won and it was only from spirit.
Well, you were given the sense of peace because that's what you wanted.
Yeah.
You know, people can't experience peace unless they have peace in their heart first. You can't experience anything unless you have it already. But what I want to say is, don't think you're going to get rid of me, sweetie pie.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I'm not the same person I was, I could say 6 months ago, a year ago, 5 years ago, and my audience knows I was a bitch on wheels, my way or the highway. My son, you know what my son, the one that wrote the song, you know what he told me when he was younger? He says, Mom, living with you is like living in a concentration camp. No, but I'm telling you, I'm just trying to give you an example of I got to this place, and it was because when I was younger, when you wish for things, you're throwing money in the wishing into the water, or you're wishing over the candles. I would always wish for two things, and one was to live to my potential, and the second one was to be happy. That's it. I never wish for lots of money, prince on a white horse. No, I wish for to live to my potential and happiness, and that's what the universe has gifted me at this particular stage in my life. I have the keys, and I'm learning every single day. There's something new. There's some other. If I can share a really quick story.
Yes, I'd love to hear it.
About 3 weeks ago, it's time for the upgrade with AT&T, and my son and I were under the same plan. So we get an upgrade, not the iPhone, I'm not the 5, just the 4, because I'm not into the 5 yet, I'm still upgrading to the 4. And my thing has always been, and I don't like people that are slow. I don't like people that are not competent. I'm just talking about the past. I don't like people that are, I don't even want to say this out loud, that I label, you know what, let me just say slow. And
you like to go fast.
Yes, I do. I do. The gentleman that took the order made the, send one phone to New York, send one phone to California. You should get your phone in 2 days. Well, that was 2 weeks ago. 2 days went by, no phone. 3 days went by, no phone, no phone, no phone. Now, in the meantime, the AT&T customer service rep is calling me and trying to hook up the phone. The bottom line is this. It took over 3 weeks. I just got it settled yesterday. 3 weeks to... I haven't even received a phone yet. But basically what was the stall was I didn't email and I didn't... or I didn't call in to accept the terms and conditions for the phone. And without accepting the terms and conditions for the phone was never shipped.
Ah.
And I never knew, or else I forgot, whatever the experience. And in the meantime, where's my phone? But basically, the universe has taught me one thing. Whatever happens to me is for my betterment. Whatever doesn't happen to me is for my betterment. We got the whole situation straightened out yesterday, and do you know that the gentleman was very apologetic. You have $100 credit on your phone. I'm not going to charge you for activation fee. Basically, I get, instead of paying the taxes on the phone to California, everything is free plus a $50 credit.
Hey, that's fantastic.
And I'm saying this is because whatever happens in our life, this was my lesson that I had to really get, and I got it. There is nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong that's happening. So.
That's beautiful.
Thank you. I want to thank you for being a guest on Reality Spirituality. We're coming to the end of the hour. And Lynn, tell the audience again where they can find you.
I'm at businessbuildingbooks.com.
And your last name is Lynne. Last name, mm-hmm. Klippel.
Yep, Klippel, just like clip your fingernails.
Well, I want to thank you again, and you are welcome back on the show anytime. I'm going to say goodbye to my audience, and I will talk to you all again. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality with your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers.
Get real good.
Now,
get real good.
Now, what I'm